When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Dave Hasty. Josh, are you there? Hi, I'm Dave Hasty.
I'm Josh Betteridge.
And I'm George Ashwell. And we are Before the Lights.
Before the Lights.
We run a gym in central London where we train actors for film roles. Everything from superhero workouts...
Is trying to work out with Hugh Jackman just ridiculously intimidating?
Yeah. I was like, oh, I lifted a 160 deadlift or something the other day. And he was like, oh, mate, that's really good. Well done. Wait, are you talking pounds or kilograms?
To keeping people ticking over mentally and physically between jobs.
When I'm working as an actor, you're like, oh my gosh, I never knew that life could be this amazing. When you're not working, that can then feel like... I remember all of those older actors who were very sad whenever they weren't working. And I'm like, now I get it.
Our day-to-day is in the gym, but this is absolutely not a podcast about how to work out or get ripped. You might get the odd tip every now and again because that is how we earn our living. But the main reason we're here is just to chat to our clients about their careers and their relationship with fitness.
This is where I start to sound kind of like one of those actors who's going to talk about his process. Like, you got to look after your instrument, man.
Expect everything that goes on behind the scenes, when they're on sets, on stage, or embarrassing themselves during a workout.
It's me running, and you just see, like, my hands. I keep on going. So you just see me kind of, you like, limping out of shot.
I was first up for the relay team, and I didn't have any spikes. We set off face planted on the tarmac, and I just heard Scott Dawson, who I fancied so much, go,
shout out, Scott.
Liv, your ass is munching on your shorts, like that.
You're listening to the Before the Lights podcast.
This week's guest is Sophie Cookston. You might know her from Kingsman and The Trial of Christine Keeler, among a bunch of other stuff. A really insightful chat about being a new mother in the film industry and the pressures that that puts on. And I think one of the scariest stories we've heard in terms of things that can go wrong on a film set, I won't say too much, but it involves a horse. And you wouldn't want to be there.
You wouldn't.
We also spoke about her training super hard for an Amazon Mark Wahlberg film called Infinite.
And a bit of an insight into what you see on screen doesn't always happen when you think, because a film that she worked on so long ago that she forgot about it before it's even come out.
When was the last time you did a podcast?
Never done one.
You've never done a podcast?
No one knows us.
World exclusive.
I'm sure they have. You just refuse.
World exclusive.
It is a world exclusive.
World exclusive.
Sophie Cookson. Well, how am I doing David Attenborough?
Was that what that was?
Yes.
I'm really enjoying this already. Just
This is literally what the podcast is.
It doesn't get any more serious than this.
It's a Tuesday afternoon and I've got a peppermint tea and a beer.
Yeah, it's perfect.
A peppermint beer if you wanted to.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
This is a new podcast.
Aww,
yeah, which
this
is the first time.
This is first time we've all had a beer.
The first one we did here, we did a jelly bean throw into everyone's mouth.
I was telling Sophie
about that, but I got a bit nervous. I can't really...
Right, let's get really fucking serious now.
What did we call you earlier at the gym? Sophie Thorpson.
Sophie Thorpson.
Thorpson, why?
Yeah, we're talking about like combining names. Like me and Emily would be either a Senti or a Haystor.
A Haystor sounds really good. Cool. Haystor sounds like mythical. A mythical creature.
Yeah, I think it sounds like a bull with a man's head. Anyway, without further ado, let's introduce this week's guest to the BTL podcast, the lovely Sophie Cookson.
Hello. Woo!
That is very well done. Dave, that was the best
was
one
nice
yet.
Intro.
Welcome.
What the hell did you
very,
do? Sorry,
I'm very well done.
Bad.
Do you like to start that again so Sophie
no,
can then
well.
Say thanks?
You did well. You can just say thanks now. We can cut all that shit out.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming on.
Where did we meet, Soph? When was the first time on the
planet? I think we met in 2018. Yeah. Got hooked up together to do some training for a film called Infinite,
which is on Amazon Prime.
Which is apparently on Amazon Prime.
Did
I've
you not know?
Watched it yet.
You didn't know.
Oh, no.
I've been told. Yeah.
So you had to train quite hard for that film, though. You had
yeah,
to be...
I did. She is a character that's had a gazillion past lives, so she's supposed to be excellent at kind of various martial arts
everything.
And
yeah,
everything, essentially. And I think we had maybe 5 weeks to train, so not long at all.
You're a fan of intense training, though.
I didn't know that, though, before we
no,
started
this,
training.
Yeah, no, this is true. This is true.
Did you train before that? Had you, like, gone to the gym and stuff previously, or is it all a bit of, like, a new world?
Yeah, I mean, I've always enjoyed being... Well, I say always. I have enjoyed being fit in the past, but I've never really taken it that seriously. Or I've kind of had phases where I've been totally in love with it and then totally hated it and like, fuck this, I just want to be free and loose and not care. But for me, it was just a real revelation just how much I loved it. I love the challenge. I love the kind of... I found it to be like a real mental workout as well. I mean, slightly different when you've got such a strong... goal or like there was things that we had to achieve for the film very fast, and it was quite a lot of I put quite a lot of pressure on myself, and I probably pushed myself a bit too hard and was at risk of slightly burning out. But you don't know those things until you actually start training. You don't know how far you can go, and it's all about like working out that balance, which I think is quite hard.
But we did push the boundary and then worked out the balance. But I think that's you are a competitive person when it comes to it. So I think you do push that boundary, but it's in a way that's like, okay, I've never known I could do this before, so this is cool.
I find it so exciting. Maybe that's a really boring thing to find that exciting, but I really just love not knowing what your limits are. And I think, you know, when you're trying to, you know, be essentially a superhero in a film, it's a good time to kind of push those limits. Mm. Yeah.
Had you done that kind of film before? Had you done the super physical, like shooting everybody, all that kind
I
of stuff?
I thought that's what Kingsman would be for me. Uh-huh. And I went into the training session a few weeks before shooting, and I was like, right, this is going to be like really rigorous, really intense. Going to do gun training, loads of like acrobatics and all this kind of stuff. I literally did a forward roll, and then they were like, okay, cool, so that's the end of your first training session. I was like, wow, either they think like I'm totally awful and they just don't trust me, or we're not going to really do much.
What kind of forward roll did you do? Are we talking like one arm on the ground, or did you do arms up at the end, full gymnastic style?
Totally professional. Yeah.
With little up on the tiptoes at the end.
Of course, it's me.
Did you start down in the tucked position and then just slowly roll?
Well, now
it?
I'm like reliving the forward roll. I think it was probably absolutely shocking. I was absolutely shitting myself on the first day.
I feel like if
so
I had
scary.
To do one now... Having not done, like, I don't know, when the last time I did a forward roll.
You'd hurt yourself.
You did a classic one where
I could do
you
it.
Hit your head so hard when you land.
I'm fine.
Teaching my daughter how to do forward rolls at the moment.
That's the last time I did a forward roll, was when we were in the gym, and you was like, oh, we're going to do a forward roll. And then I did the classic, oh, I'll do well and see if she'll do one. And then I was like, oh, I've hit my head really hard.
Martha did it a lot better.
Yeah, she just
out forward rolled by an 18-month-old girl. Anyway, back to the...
I mean, that was good. A lovely sidetrack.
Where were we? On Infinite. You're the kind of person that is quite diligent with that stuff, though. Mm. Like, just someone that you want to work with. Like, if you say, can you do this and do this however many times a day or whatever, you'll come back and usually have done it.
If she can't do it first time, she's like, I'm going to have to do this now.
Really,
which you share with your co-star in Christine Keeler, James Norton, who is also ultra-competitive with his training.
Yeah, I it's quite nice, though, being competitive just with yourself. I know that sounds really corny, but I think particularly in my childhood, I like to be kind of competitive with other people, and that's actually just much more fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, pushing yourself and yeah, if someone says do 10, then I want to prove to them that I can probably do 12.
But you will, and you'll do it well.
You are definitely one of those people that's like jumping around in our rest periods going, yeah, what's next? And I'm like,
I
this
love
is
it.
Time to rest.
No, I think also it's like becoming a mother recently. I just, you know, you don't have much free time. So then when you're in, I get a lot of energy from it. And, you know, particularly if you're having long days kind of just chatting to a you know, very non-verbal 18-month-old, you know, I get excited, you know.
But I mean, that's the thing that I think people don't understand, or only like, it's a real hard truth to learn, is that you get energy from training.
Definitely.
Like especially as someone like a mother who's like, you do a lot, but it's quite... It's not static, but it's like small movements, lots of like long holds of like postural stuff.
Definitely.
And it's like, if you can jump around for 15 minutes, you're actually going to feel, you know, it's not going to tire you out more. It will, in a sense of like energy burning. You're going to feel tired and need to eat more food, but you will get more, your brain will be clearer, you'll get more energy out of it, and you'll be able to do more of the stuff that you find difficult at the time.
I feel so groggy and grumpy when I haven't done something for days. And I definitely think that I'm just a better person in general, definitely a better mum.
Yeah, it gives you a moment of not doing whatever it is. Like, I've recently become a parent, and it is that kind of thing. Like, you're doing something so frequently and with so much sort of attention to what you're doing that it's just good to do something that's completely not that.
And it's so cleaning for
back
you
to
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You just suddenly sacrifice so much of your life and your time and your energy to this tiny little thing that you love. But then, you know, when you come in the training room, it's just you and it's... And you guys, and that's really
we're always there.
Always watching.
I never thought of it until you actually spoke about it. When like you're with this little person for so long, and they can't speak back to you with questions or thoughts that you have.
They're
like a little sponge, but then the sponge doesn't give you anything back. So when you come in,
it's quite draining.
Yeah,
I don't know, whatever that release is, whether it's kind of anger or just, you know, feeling good, whatever kind of mental place that I'm in, I always come out feeling better.
Josh, what do you reckon people should do if they're a fan of this podcast?
I think they should like it, share it, and subscribe to it.
Well done. That's great. Yeah, I like that.
Have you found like being a mum has changed your approach to your work? Like, would it change the types of jobs you would think about taking?
I think it changes like everything. I mean, there's a very practical element to it, which is kind of division of time. But then, I don't know, I think it, at least for me, it's given me a greater sense of perspective. And also the classic new parent thing of, what the fuck was I doing with all my time before?
Yeah.
You have to be more on top of things. Or if you want to get the most out of everyone and everything, you have to be slightly more organized. Mm. And I think maybe, for example, when we were training for Infinite, like that was all that mattered to me. At least now with Martha, I don't know, I just feel like it's okay. Whatever happens at work, you can just leave it at work. It's so easy, I think, particularly with something creative, to kind of constantly mull or think that it's unfinished.
Yeah.
You know, it's
overworking something. It's like if someone, if you made like painted a picture and you kept
going back to it
and kept adding to it, when actually you've done it, you did the thing, you spent the time that you needed to.
Yeah, you
absolutely.
Can take a step back.
Would you have previously sort of thought about scripts and things like that and gone home and sort of gone over bits and thought of doing things differently?
Yeah,
then
I mean,
home?
You always have to prep for the next day, but I'm quite hard on myself. I tend to always think about my mistakes or kind of think, oh shit, I should have done that, or God, I missed an opportunity there, or and give myself a hard time. And you just literally don't have the energy when you're a parent.
Yeah. It must also be a really good like sort of reality check in a way that you come home and that she needs you to just be a mum. Rather than thinking about that stuff, because it's not going to always benefit you to go over things. Like sometimes it does, but not always. Most of the time it's good to do something like you was just saying and then step away from it and kind of go and then be, you don't have the choice of not doing it because she's there and you need to be
there's
her mum. So it's
no
like so
out.
Good for that, isn't it?
It's the ultimate keeping you in the present moment is having a child, like going, mum, I'm here. Like,
but like weirdly, I feel
everything.
Like training was quite a good warm up for that in a way. Like I don't know. There's
because Josh is always whining.
Josh is always screaming in the background.
Feed him with a bottle. You have to hold him sometimes.
Guys, where's my lunch?
Always changing, Josh, constantly.
I don't know, though. Just something, it's a present thing that you will, like, this moment will pass.
Something else will happen. It teaches you that. It teaches you that.
Oh, you're still talking about hanging out with me?
This moment will pass, please God.
It teaches you that discipline of that, and, like, the tough times will go, but it also teaches you the routine of, like, okay, today. I have to train. And like,
yeah.
The same thing with having a child. There's a routine when it comes to it. And getting used to that first is probably very helpful.
I'm learning loads from doing these podcasts with people. I'm like, I've got to stop. Don't piss away your evenings. Sometimes I get home and be like, right, news on, sit on the sofa.
His trousers are definitely off at this point.
Yeah.
Hour and a half.
Whenever Josh goes anywhere, within, I would say, 30 seconds, his trousers are off. It becomes normal to the point of, like, you don't really question it. And then when Josh and I were making our way, we'd worked in Australia together, and then we were coming back to the UK, and we were stopped off. Your parents were working in Dubai at the time. Oh, yeah. So we went into their house, and his dad came home from work, walked in, trousers off,
of
shirt unbuttoned, just sat on the sofa next to me. And I was like, makes so much sense now.
There we go.
We went to a wedding once, and me and Josh were sharing a room at this like wedding in, I can't remember where it was, but there was like, we were staying in like a hotel around the corner.
Can't remember this.
Literally.
What's he going to say?
We literally, as soon as we opened the door to our shared hotel room that had a double bed in it, Josh literally, before I'd entered the room,
he
was in front of me. He started taking his trousers off, and I was like, I think you've got the wrong idea about what's happening in this room.
This is not this kind of trip.
Yeah. I'm just relaxed with you.
Yeah,
that's what it was. I was very comfortable. There's underwear on, and just confirm that. I'm always wearing underwear under these trousers. Underwear.
And they're not those trousers with poppers down the sides.
Yeah, he whips them off. It's Velcro. Yeah.
Look, I really think before you have kids, you've got to enjoy taking those trousers off.
That's where I was going to go. I've still got a few years.
I wouldn't worry about wasting your evenings. I'd just.
It sounds like
it
you're
up.
Using them very well.
Enjoy them. Enjoy them.
There's Sophie notes here.
There are extensive Sophie notes.
Don't try and look like you've just plucked it out of.
Sophie, you have a film coming out soon with Adrian Brody called Emperor.
I filmed that after Kingsman. I filmed that such a long time ago.
Dave said, did you realise? And I was like, no, I did not.
Yeah, that happened.
Is this another world exclusive? Like you're doing the first ever podcast?
This is the start of your junket. Yeah,
I did that after Kingsman. I kind of forget that I did it.
What year was that? Kingsman?
2004.
I did say Kingsman. Let's move on.
2014, I think. 14.
I was going to say 16, but yeah.
But yeah, that was really full-on training process. Mm-hmm. And I was playing. Well, she was amazing with her bow and arrow, and it was loads of horse riding training, and loads of fitness and martial arts, and that was really fun. That was training for a long time. I loved that.
Did you have to do like proper like archery and all that kind
of
stuff?
Yeah. And there's I've never seen the film, so I'd love to see it, but there's this whole scene that we did at nighttime on this set in Prague that was supposed to be Rome, and the whole of Rome's on fire and everyone's like running about, total chaos, and had like full-on sword fight on horse, and it was really cool.
Wow.
And like it was really, it's like one of the most exciting pieces
actually
of filming, like proper on a horse, like with a sword, and yeah,
mental.
It was amazing.
And how long does it take to like learn that and train for that? Because that's not something, I'm assuming. Could you ride horses before?
Yeah, I love riding.
Okay, so you had that skill.
I've never, you know.
You're probably the only actor in the world that has horse riding on their CV that can actually do it.
That means it.
Yeah.
No, I loved that. So I guess I have done another action film, but terrible with a bow and arrow. Terrible.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah. No. You would do the shooting bit, and then they'd just get someone to just throw it towards where it's supposed to go.
Yeah, there's actually, I was in, what was the title? The Huntsman? That was the follow-up to the Kristen Stewart film. Yeah, and I was in
it. But what was the title? What was it called again?
You're in this film.
Okay, good.
Shit. But anyway, I went in and I did like a few scenes, and there was a scene with me and Chris Hemsworth where I'm supposed to be like stalking him with a bow and arrow, and the scene got cut from the film.
Because you looked unbelievable.
Well,
with a bow and arrow.
But I did make the bloopers.
Okay, good.
You just see me like stalking him with this bow and arrow, and the arrow just kind of gently.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to hear from all the guests this series.
Have you got a favourite blooper?
That's probably the best one.
Falling off horses. I'm sure everyone
falls
off horses.
No falling off horses.
Doesn't everyone fall off?
I did. Oh, sorry, I had a really bad accident. Yeah, really bad
shit.
Accident.
There you go. Everyone does fall off.
Put that one to the back of the mind. Forgotten about it.
And now
I've
brought that up.
It out. Yeah, no, it was It was me and this other girl, and she wasn't an experienced rider, but she'd been training for months to literally walk through a forest on this horse, like a really big, ploddy kind of cart horse. I was like, Lisa, there's literally nothing that can go wrong. Famous last words. And it was towards the, oh, it might have been the last day of the shoot, and it was quite chaotic on set, and we had to go quite deep into this big dark forest and then come back towards camera. And Lisa is very tall with very long legs, and she was wearing these shiny leggings. We start going, and I think they've just been mucking the horse around a bit and kept it waiting for quite a long time, and it feels so different to how it did in training. And it suddenly starts to kind of get really feisty, and then it just totally gallops off into the middle of this forest. Lisa is holding on for dear life. We've got no saddle as well, so
that makes it like 10 times harder though.
Yes, got no saddle. Lisa's like slipping all over the place, and then because I'm the more experienced rider, I was like, well, I've got to be the one to make a decision, and I didn't want the horse to like buck us off.
Are you on the same horse?
On the same horse. Yeah.
Oh wow.
So I decided that we should probably like try and roll off rather than like,
I was gonna say, is there a point at which that's
well
the
yes
best.
It's quite, the forest is getting thicker and thicker and denser with trees. So I was like, well, let's just roll. And obviously, I didn't
did
have
you communicate
time.
That
no,
with
I didn't
her.
Have time to like, you just dragged Lisa, her off. Good. 3, 2, 1, go. I just like, it was a very spontaneous decision.
You just hugged her and dropped off.
So kind of rolled off the side of this horse. Oh, so bad. And I literally felt the hooves kind of like raise the top of my head.
No way.
I look around to see where Lisa is, and she's literally just lying on the floor, totally still. And I was like, oh my God, I've killed Lisa. This is just obviously the worst day of my life.
Please tell me you
and
didn't.
I hadn't. Good. But I got over to Lisa, and she was just very, very shocked.
I would be too, if you didn't tell me you were about to throw me off a horse.
But then obviously it being a filming day, in half an hour we were told to get back on the horse.
Yeah, she was back on the horse.
Schedule is everything.
And then it started kind of doing the same thing, and I had to just be like, guys, it's not happening. We're not doing this. So then we ended up doing the horse, the scene with the horse kind of sat on these two chairs, just like wobbling around, like the camera, you know, obviously cutting out the chairs, just pretending to be like on this really.
Yeah,
it was terrible, terrible day for me.
Wow.
So yeah, I have had an accident on a horse.
And he said like, oh, come on, back on the horse. Were you just like, well, guys?
Well, I think, like, as an actor, part of your job is to, like, say no, really. Like, and know your limits. Like, even if you're doing things multiple times, like a scene in Keeler where I was, you know, kind of getting into this fight and being dragged out of a club, you know, I ended up with, like, my arm was black the next day. And I was like, look, we can't do this again because I'm in so much pain. So you have to really, not be afraid to vocalise when things
It's easy sometimes you watch those types of scenes and think that it wouldn't or it isn't real, so it's not not that physical. But that's a massive part of it, isn't it? Because that's kind of like another side of what we do, is going on set to like patch people up. So where there's been times where we've been called in like last minute because someone can't move their head or whatever, and obviously that's not going to be able to shoot the scene unless you can move your head around. So it's like, I think people don't necessarily always see that side of it or aware of how physical and how many repetitions of the same thing you have to do.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I did this film in Lithuania, and very intense film, and we were all on this train heading towards this death camp in Siberia, and it was my last day of shooting, and I woke up like 5 o'clock in the morning just because I couldn't sleep because I was so nervous, because I knew that day the scene that I was shooting was me being executed, and I'd been so anxious about it the whole shoot, and probably because of that, like, my shoulder just completely twinged in the middle of the night, and I literally could not move. And we're obviously doing quite a low budget film in Lithuania. There's no one that's going to come in and like fix my shoulder for me before I go on, and then so you're having to work out how you can go into doing an incredibly physical scene, trying not to let everyone know that you're really badly hurt.
Do you think that was like an emotional response of like the stress?
Definitely.
Or was it just like anything physical?
I noticed that my shoulder often does go when I'm feeling incredibly anxious. Yeah, I just really stressed myself out, and you definitely do end up physicalizing how you internally feel, or at least I do. I think I'm a very... I don't know, I feel like those things for me at least are very linked.
Yeah.
I know that when my body doesn't feel good, my head doesn't feel good.
And vice versa.
A lot of people don't kind of, if you're aware of it, it's super useful because you can kind of regulate a lot of that stuff, can't you? You can be kind of touched on it earlier where you're saying like training is like a moment where it's for you. And you can use that, whether it's like exercise or you're just going to go for a walk or...
But for me, I think it really was like, like, I can't hype it up enough. It was such a revelation for me when we started training together, because, like, for years I'd, like, struggled with really bad eating disorders and, like, had such a bad, just such a bad relationship with my body and with exercise. And I think the times that I wasn't training, it wasn't so much like, oh, let's give yourself a break. It was kind of, that was another kind of form of self-abuse.
Yeah, almost like a punishment kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And but for me, training to not punish myself, just training to actually feel good, was a real head shift. I think particularly as like a woman in quite a tough industry. I mean, I think and I hope it is getting better, but just the shit that gets said to you or the pressure that's on you, you know, it's a very difficult industry to kind of, to remind yourself that it should just be for you. Yeah. You should just train to feel good. I don't know, like, I think with an eating disorder particularly, a lot of it for me was about control. So I felt like I had to be quite careful after Martha was born to kind of not be like, okay, I'm taking back control, and getting fixated upon it. But it was that, just in a much more kind of self-caring form. Like, I'm going to take back control for me and to feel good and my health. Yeah, and to feel mentally on top of things. Because those first few months of motherhood, they're such a fug.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, in the first, like, week or so after giving birth, being like, everyone says motherhood changes you and I feel totally fine. And so clearly not. So it was just a real... I wanted to stay on top of it for me and other people around me.
I think when you came back in to see us as well, it was all, you wanted to become, like, get your strength back and start to move again. And
the
it
words
was always
were great.
Very much, yeah, your reason for coming back in was never, I want to get my body back or whatever, which I think.
Well, I think also my pregnancy coincided with the pandemic. So my idea of kind of doing lots of swimming or kind of feeling still mobile whilst being pregnant, all of that was stripped away from me. I didn't have that choice. So I really did feel very trapped. And so it was so liberating, the idea of coming back and kind of being physical, because, you know, we'd all been, like, everyone trapped in our house for so long.
But we did do a little bit of training on Zoom with your sofa in the...
I think for me, though, it was really nice, though, as well, being pregnant, because I really did give myself a break.
Yeah,
I
was but you also trained in your pregnancy, but we did. Yeah. We took it right back, and you just enjoyed moving.
But you know me, I was frustrated because
you wanted to do five more. Yeah.
I mean, I remember. I know I've told you this before, but I always feel embarrassed saying it, but I really did think about all three of you whilst giving birth, because, like, I remember there was a point where I was just like, such a physical roller coaster.
Yeah. It is honestly, like, mind blowing. Like, it's properly mind blowing. Like,
yeah, I am just so glad I was in a good physical shape, though, before getting pregnant, because it really just, like, just set me up really well to, like, recover and like feel, I don't know, not feel like physically destroyed after giving birth.
It seems like that's more of, like, the norm in terms of, like, people seem quite aware of that. Not making sure, but spending a bit of time just trying to think about the process and trying to strengthen certain muscles and all that kind of stuff. It definitely sets you up, and the more people seem to be aware that that's
the psychological process of training, and, like, you reaching that wall in the gym where you're like, I actually can't do anymore. It's so like giving birth. It's like, I actually can't do this anymore. It's like, no, you can.
There's something in it, in that it's your relationship with, like, stress. And one thing that exercise is really good for, it's like deliberately exposing yourself to stress. And I think people just think stress is like, oh, I'm stressed out and tense and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, it could be anything. It could be, like, anxiety of getting on a busy train, or it could be knowing you've got a deadline to meet, or it could be, like, the physical stress of trying to exercise, and that you can sort of acclimatize yourself to that stress and train your body's reaction to it, so that when you get to that situation, it's not, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But you kind of can, obviously elements of it will be that, but you know, at the same time, you can kind of regulate your body's response to it and relax yourself and calm yourself.
It's so empowering as well. So it is all about managing yourself and working out what the fuck you are going to do when you can't be patched up. But it is a very physical job. Even the scenes that people don't realise in Kingsman, there's the scene where Roxy's kind of falling through space. And I was training in something called the Vomit Comet.
Was that the thing that, like, astronauts
Astronauts use it to train, and also Cirque du Soleil.
So you trained in the Vomit Comet.
Trained in the Vomit Comet.
When it comes to actually shooting it.
Then we must have shot in the vomit comet as well, I think, because that's what was making me spin and was the go vomit all in over the place. There was no vomit. It was very close, but I was warned not to eat for a long time.
Yeah. That'd be the worst, wouldn't it? If it comes to the one we're actually shooting, you just feel like, oh,
dear. It's bad. Just it was bad. Not easy.
What's next for you in terms of like what's coming out?
Next, we have The Confessions of Franny Langton. So that'll be out in, I never know when these things come out. Autumn. Soon.
Yeah. And the film with Adrian Brody.
And that one.
That one.
It's quite nice. I like it. So it's like, do it, done.
Yeah. Move on. I did go into an ADR session, maybe a few years ago now, probably. And they were like, oh, yeah, we've been mixing Emperor today. I was like, what? Why? And they're like, oh, no, it's coming out. So, I mean, as an actor, you never really know.
You put them in a can, they get edited, and then they could come out at any point. It's whoever owns the film is when it's going to come out.
And it's quite nerve-wracking because sometimes, it comes out and it's like, totally not the decision that you would have made at that point in your career.
That's something about the industry is like you have control over the script you choose, and then you kind of know who might be in it with you or like the director. But it's such a gamble with everything you do as to like what's it going to come out like at the end?
Yeah.
Like you're victim to the edit or whatever. It's tough. What are you going to say?
You can tell you just got back from being on two film sets. You do it, you put it in a can, and it just turns up,
He's got his name on the back of that chair as well.
I have, yeah.
You put it in the can.
It's on the front.
What the fuck is the can?
What's the can?
It's not a can anymore, is it? It's just a memory card.
Metaphor can.
It used to be the can that was...
Yeah, the big silver can that had the film in it.
Oh,
that's what a can is.
Yeah. And on that
there you go. Another thing Josh has learned today.
I've learned lots. I always learn from everyone on this podcast. All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for another hour of therapy session for me.
Wrap it up.
How do you normally wrap things up?
It usually ends something along...
Dave does it.
What's happening now.
Go on, Dave, sum it up.
And then I'll just go... I try and do it, and then I always get everyone looking at me and just end up saying weird stuff.
You get lambasted by us, don't you?
Lambasted.
Ooh.
Very nice.
Podcast talk.
You read that?
Yeah, word of the day. He's on his toilet paper.
Playing Wordle right now.
Lambasted wouldn't be on Wordle.
I've got to do Wordle, actually.
Don't do it now.
Don't do Wordle now. I'll wrap up the podcast.
Please.
Well, that's brought to the end of this episode. Brought to the end?
That's
the weirdest one. That's the weirdest one. That's
brought us to the end?
Let's just go with... Can we say thanks to Sophie for coming on?
Thank you for having
us. It's been really, really great having you on the show.
I'd like to say a personal thanks to Jimmy. He's going to edit this into something that we can all hopefully enjoy.
Jimmy's looking at
putting
us
a lot of faith in you.
It's a big maybe on that one. Well, there we go.
But a bit too much trouser. Trouser?
Trouser.
None of us should have had that small beer. That was it.
The beer's really to be fair, I think the beer's really like set me out
spinning.
Of space. Yeah.
You say it like you're surprised, like every podcast doesn't end with us going, well, I think we said some stuff, and now
But do
there
you
we
normally
go.
Have a beer?
No, we have no, done before.
I've had beers before. As in
I feel
before
so
the podcast.
Honest.
Did I do enough there to summarise?
No, you should do another one.
I didn't say any actual real words, did I? So
on,
takes
Dave.
Us to before the end of the finish with Sophie.
Something like that.
this brought us before the end.
That's what I said, yes.
Dave's been up since 5, back on.
I have, actually.
He hasn't always had that excuse, though, so don't. He's always been that bad at it.
This has been going on since before the baby. Right. So.
Give it one more go.
One more go. Yeah. Here we go. Well, thank you very much for coming on the podcast, Sophie. It's been a real delight, haven't you?
Thank you for having me,
boys.
It's been a pleasure.
Woo!
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.